Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Looks like our ball landed in the rough.
What were you thinking?
Actually, the whole course looks like the rough.
Let's see how good you really are.
It's British Open Week on The Fan.
Presented by the Winco Foods Portland Open, August 5th through the 11th. 100% of ticket sales go to local charities. Order now at WincoFoodsPortlandOpen.com.
Dusty and Cam on 1080.
Functional and fashionable.
The Fan.
All right, just after 8 o'clock, Dusty Hera, Cameron Cleland with you. We're awaiting our guests, David Lucas of the Maurice Lucas Foundation, and John Bladholm. They'll be joining us shortly here in the 1080 The Fans studios. Yeah.
Palatial.
A lot of complaining about the officials in the Pac-12, and this is one that comes up quite often, and I have noticed this as well. If the Pac-12 just didn't call pass interference as much, would it be a noticeable difference in the level of officiating there? They just seem like they call PI all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
It's obviously a point of emphasis.
But I think it's beyond that, in that it's blown calls all the time. Like, they'll call a PI and you're like, where was that two plays ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, football is now being called to try to help offense. It's doing that because if you watch it at full speed, anytime a player at that kind of speed, and those of you who've ever been down on a sideline, if you ever get a chance to watch it or ever get the opportunity to be down on a sideline at a practice or anything, just go down and watch it and see if you can figure out pass interference or a clean play at full speed up close and see if you're looking for it. And I know these guys are trained and they're doing their best. And they watch video and they watch tape and say, this is PI, this isn't. You have to throw your hands up and go, I'm not sitting here to tell you to defend what the Pac-12 sees. I think they're being taught to default to PI because it helps offense.
Yeah.
A no call used to be that just don't call anything. That is what the NFL officials do in the playoffs.
Swallow the whistle.
Yeah, they default Saints, to a no Rams. Call. I think that the Pac-12 is, no, we default to a call.
Yeah. Well, which one is worse, having a Saints-Rams situation or having the Pac-12's glasses ref?
They're both not good. Yeah. But that's human error. There's no way to get around it. There's no way to fix that.
Yeah. Well.
It's definitely
is a way.
It's not the gun, it's the shooter.
Robot refs.
Okay.
No?
That's one thing about football we'll never have to worry about.
Robot
officials.
I would love to see a robot umpire right in the middle. Like, you have that crossing route where you have the fat guy gets knocked over, you know, the umpire when he's backing up.
Okay.
Now it would be just a robot. You could have one of those Bozo. Remember those Bozo the Clown punching bags where you could just knock him over?
I have a better idea. Let's just make it like practice. Call your own fouls. See what happens.
The future.
Toughest kid wins. That's how you get to the end zone. The toughest kid wins.
Okay. How about that? Pac-12's refs default to Woody Dixon. That's a good one too. Mm-hmm. Still don't know how he has a job. Your daily reminder, he is still gainfully employed.
Making a lot of money too.
Yeah. They missed a clear spear to the head on the quarterback in the pocket. They're garbage. I'm taking that to be
they got two of them in the Washington game.
Washington State fan.
Washington Oregon game. They got two of them. Both guys got ejected.
Those are good calls though. Right?
I didn't like either of them.
I
didn't like either of them.
Letter of the law.
I thought Oregon's one was the worst. The ones called against them
yeah.
on that one. The one hit that Washington had with that turn, that was just as bad. I wouldn't have called either of them, but I know that's what we're talking about, the letter of the law. Both those calls were egregious. I think both those boys shouldn't be kicked out of the game.
Mm. No, they shouldn't have been, but, I mean, letter of the law said
I get it.
It's illegal.
Law's black and white.
Sucks.
It's black and white.
Yeah. Okay. One more college football coming up as the show goes on, including why the ACC... it may be in the same boat as the Pac-12 network, and your feedback on Oregon and Washington's dominance on the recruiting trail and how the times have changed in that regard. Because if you look at it, 31 recruits, 4 or 5-star caliber, have committed to Oregon and or Washington. 39?
39.
Sorry.
11.
There we go. That's the number.
Yeah.
Oregon and Washington, 39 4- and 5-star commits for 2019-2020. USC, UCLA, 11.
11.
And we had some actually pretty interesting takes on why that is. And you brought up the good point of the dining and just feeding players in style and doing things to the nines. And what your branding is important. It takes money to make money in college football. And the way you do it, you got to spend on the recruits to get them in and on campus.
How do you attract them? How do you make them excited?
Bags of cash.
If you don't have bags of cash, what do you do to excite a young, talented 18-year-old?
And that is what every single coach in college football is trying to do.
Great marketing teams.
And there is something that I want to address, though, and we'll have time to do it a little bit later, about Oregon State, and we had an Oregon State alum say, when I hear this, I sit there and I go, this is almost impossible for Oregon State to recruit guys at that caliber. And Oregon State and Washington State, by the way, the only two schools to have 0 4- or 5-star guys.
It used to be that winning was just enough. Now that's not good enough.
If winning was enough, Washington State would not be at the bottom of that list in the Pac-12.
No, they wouldn't. They get 11 wins. They get 10 wins.
Mike Leach knows
very
how to
good.
Do one thing. It's win football games.
Yep.
So it's more than that. And some of it, though, is you have a coach like a Mike Leach who doesn't need to have 4 or 5-star guys to win. The system wins, development and coaching wins. You know?
Also, it's your staff. To an extent. It is kind of the staff of guys you have around them. Because remember, those position players – or the position coaches have relationships with these guys, and they treat it. It's like a father-son relationship for 4 years. How good and how well do those guys talk, and how well do they teach? Do they interact with them? That to me is as good as your staff is, as good as your program is.
I think people would be shocked at how little players talk to their head coach.
Oh, yes. 100%.
I mean...
I mean, in my 4 years, 5 years... 2 paragraphs?
I don't.
Maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
I don't
two
know
paragraphs.
I don't know the mentality you guys had, but ours was: if you're talking to the head coach, something went wrong.
Yeah, there's a problem.
You know.
Well, when I first got there, Don James sat in a tower. He didn't even come down on the field. He was in a tower, but he saw everything.
And here is where it kind of you build those relationships, like you were saying. Your position coach, you talk to them every day, all day,
yep.
More than you would like to. More than your best friend,
mm-hmm.
probably.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's your coordinator. And then there's probably another position coach on your
sure.
side of the ball.
And then it's your strength coach. It's your position coach and your strength coach.
And then...
hand in hand.
Your head coach is probably... we've already put him 5th on this list.
It really depends on the head coach. Some head coaches are more in tune than others. Other are a little more... they want to have a standoffish. I think today's head coaches are a little... I know this for sure. They're a lot closer to the players than they've ever been.
Yeah, but that still doesn't mean daily conversations
correct.
With them.
Correct.
It's a team
it's
meeting.
Like you can text, hey, Coach Chrisball, what's up today, dude? What you doing?
Sup?
What are you guys eating for lunch?
Sup, bro?
That'd be a good question to ask him. How many of the players daily tweet or not tweet, text him? Or does he allow the players to have his phone number? I'd be very curious.
He does.
I know he does, but does he allow you to, hey, what's up, man? You in my text group, coach? What up? What are you doing?
Group chat. I don't think he wants to see
Swipe,
group chat.
Leave the conversation.
Yeah, leave that conversation. How many group chat conversations have you left?
All of them. Except my coaching staff one at the high school. I unfortunately hang on to that one because it's needed. But boy, it's just, it turns into every football game or anything on the outside. It's like, oh, did you see that play? Oh, did you see? I'm like, dude, are you talking about, stop it.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Give me information.
That
it's
is.
Bro. It's a bro hangout. It's a bro hangout. Leave chats, bro.
Okay. Okay. Because it's rare. It takes a lot for me to do it.
I hate
it takes a lot for me to leave a group chat.
It doesn't take a lot for me. It takes more than four texts in a row back to back. And then I'm like, I'm out.
I'll tend to hang on. I'll hang in there. All right. 55305, the better you today text line. All right. When we come back, hopefully we'll have David Lucas, the head of the Maurice Lucas Foundation, joining us, and son of Maurice Lucas, joining us in studio, along with John Bladholm, his tournament director for his golf tournament out at the Reserve. But if not, we'll talk a little cruton in the Pac-12. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, it is 8:16 on your Tuesday morning. Dusty Herrick, Cam Cleland, and joining us now in studio is, we are happy, very happy to have the director of the Maurice Lucas Foundation, Maurice's son, David Lucas, joining us in studio with his daughter, who is with us this morning. What's her name?
Nala
is here, along with David, and then his tournament director for the Maurice Lucas Celebrity Golf Tournament, the 16th annual coming up on the 25th of July out at the Reserve. John Bladholm joining us in studio. Thanks for coming in, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
You know, something that you guys, the Maurice Lucas Foundation has been around for years, and we're sitting here and we're looking at, it's grown. Your father passed away, you know, almost 9 years ago now, and it's grown and becoming almost bigger and bigger every single year. Can you talk about kind of where the Maurice Lucas Foundation has grown from when your father passed away to where it's at now?
Well, you know, going way back to 2010 when my dad passed away, we started the foundation.
Yeah.
So he used to have a for-profit doing charity work and just donating the proceeds to different charities like Emmanuel Hospital and a lot of local charities in the community. And so we took a step further and created the foundation in his name, continue his legacy. His passion was youth at risk, underserved children. They're our future. I'm kind of leaders in the community. And so we built the foundation around that. And we provide after-school programming for underserved kids in the Portland community, where he was, you know, very passionate about Portland when he retired here. But the foundation has grown tremendously. As far as, you know, where when we first started, we, you know, started at a age where, you know, the economy was kind of low and it was tough to fundraise and all that. But we're rolling right now. We have two really big events, the golf tournament. John's done a great job on putting that on. Then we have our charity gala on September 7th. Which is a big event. You know, Bill Russell was there last year. Bill Walton comes every year. A lot of the old retired players and current players. Dame came through last year. Myers Leonard. It's a big event, 700 people. So it's grown tremendous.
You know, that is something, though. You talk about your dad's being in the community. They win a championship here in 77, and he was one of the original guys that stuck around in Portland. You know, we had guys like Jerome and Kevin Duckworth and Terry Porter who keeps on coming back here. But that kind of activism in the community of Portland, it started with those original guys in that 77 team when he came in and what it meant to the city. What did Portland mean to your dad? Because not a lot of guys do stick around the city of Portland after their playing days are done.
You're right about that. My dad loved it here. He loved just the weather. He loved the rain. He loved when it was sunny because summers are amazing. And Portland, I think, was a city that really, really embraced him and made him feel like this was his home. You know, he first year in the NBA, he won the championship. And I think that helps to build. Yeah.
It's a good addition to the team.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it helped to decide, like, okay, yeah, this is the place. And he spent most of his NBA career here. So, and then he coached right after he retired. And then he came back and, you know, did a lot of philanthropy in the community and a lot of charity work, and he just loved it here. And we grew up here, and we love it here. Safe environment, you know, from where he grew up in the projects in Pittsburgh. So he felt like that was a good place to raise a family.
You know, Johnny, you've been doing, I've played in a lot of your tournaments and stuff like that. You talk a little bit about your interaction with this and working with these different foundations, and about the golf tournament, the gala, things that you've been putting together, and why this foundation means so much to you, and what it is means to the community for being a part of it, and what it takes to put this stuff on.
Well, it takes someone like David.
Yeah.
I was lucky to meet David a few years ago. He actually reached out to me, not about his golf tournament, but we were helping out on a Bill Shonley golf tournament called the Shons. And he said, he just called me and said, "Hey, my name is David Lucas. I'm Maurice's son. I understand you're doing something for Bill Shonley. Bill Shonley's like a family member to me. How can I help you?" And I was like, wow, you don't get a lot of phone calls like that in the world. And then when we went and we had lunch at Bricks, and which he paid for. And
yeah, paid for everyone. Uh-huh. All the lunches.
But as anyone who meets David, you quickly think, man, I wish I would have known this guy 10 years ago. You know, 15 years ago, because he's that person you instantly feel like you're family with, and it's been that way for, you know, 3 or 4 years. I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to play in the Laker golf tournament. I was invited by a buddy, and I went up to Luke Walton, and I said, "Hey, I work on David Lucas's, Maurice Lucas's golf tournament," and Luke Walton lit up, and he said, "Man, you have no idea how much Maurice Lucas meant to me and my family." He said, "I was in high school and some kids were giving me some grief, and Maurice Lucas showed up as the enforcer hey, I'm here. We're all family with this Blazer organization. And whether you're on the court or off the court, we all back each other up." And I didn't expect a story like that, but I came away thinking like, wow, Maurice did so much for so many over the years, and he obviously raised some really good kids, and David has a cool brother and cool sister that come up to the golf tournament and the gala, and like I said, I just wish I knew him a lot longer, but we've had a lot of fun. These tournaments are a lot of work. David does most of it. He has great people behind him, great staff. Mercedes does a wonderful job. They put up 4 hole-in-one vehicles out there.
Wow.
And I don't know, Barb Bradshaw Advertising helps with that, and it's pretty cool to see some really nice vehicles out there, and then the winning team actually goes on a trip on behalf of Mercedes. They qualify to go play in another tournament, which they won last year, yeah. Right?
So 2 years ago they won it, and they went to the sectional tournament in Torrey Pines, 4 nights, 5 days, all paid expense. Flight, they all got suites, they got a rental car, G-Wagon to drive, and they pay for everything. And then the 2 guys that won, they won that one, and they got to go to the national tournament in Augusta during the Masters and play 4 nights, 5 days,
fantastic.
All paid expense. So it's in Pinehurst this year in October, so the 4 winners of the tournament get to go on a all paid expense trip to and Mercedes-Benz of Beaverton and Mercedes-Benz of Portland are our title sponsors, car sponsors, and they put that on as one of their prizes.
If you want to learn more about the golf tournament or any of the events that they put on, go to ml20.org. That is the Maurice Lucas Foundation website. We have Maurice's son, David Lucas, who is the executive director of the Maurice Lucas Foundation, and the tournament director, John Bladholm, in studio with us here talking about the tournament that's coming up. The Reserve always puts on a great event for you guys. Can you talk about, you have 4 hole-in-ones for the Mercedes, but going out there last year, it's much more than that, man. You guys have got, you know, it's from when you arrive until the very end. What can people kind of expect when they come out to the golf tournament on the course outside of the 4 hole-in-ones that you can knock in for a car?
Well, he's actually, let's get this straight, the tournament director of the golf tournament, because his friends show up, and he called me last night and he said, "Hey, we're going to do sake on this hole, and we're going to do tri-tip on this hole, and we're going to have disco dancing on this hole, thirsty line on this hole." So Koi Fusion. So you got a taco truck out there. And
I mean, we were a 7-hour round, sounds about right. That's about what it should be.
But it's a lot of fun. There. The sake hole was delicious last year, by the way.
Yeah.
We were knocking down free throws on a golf course, which I don't know how many places you can do that at.
Yeah, we're here actually to talk to you about your slow play from last year. Yeah.
I think you're the one that slowed it up last year.
Yeah, probably. That's pretty typical. It sounds about right for me. Sounds about right for me.
So there's a celebrity in every group. So you get a lot of the local celebrities and past Blazer players, and we hand out a Bill Shonley fan of the year on behalf of Bill, and Bill's there at the age of 90 handing it out, and then David does a really nice job in the auction. So there's some first class framed jerseys that his dad signed, and others from past teams. But yeah, I mean, David, everything he does is first class. He has like 7 phones here in front of him because he's kind of like a control tower.
Yeah,
he has burner phones. You don't know whether, you know, who it is. I mean, it could be Adrian Dantley. It could be Bill Walton. It could be, but man, he's like a control tower working it every time you're with him.
You know, that's something though that John mentioned, you know, the enforcer showed up for Luke Walton. What was it like growing up though? Seeing that other side of your dad. Your dad was the enforcer. That was his nickname. But then you also have this guy who is engaged in the community, helping underserved kids. And
Did he spank you or not?
That light switch that's flipped.
Did he have the look? All dads have the look. Yeah.
No,
The look.
You know, I think a lot of people feared him on the basketball court. Well, I feared him at home. So. don't you worry. He was a gentle giant off the court, too, but he also had his enforcer side. And we definitely had to make sure we stayed in check and got good grades, stay out of trouble. And we got our fair share of lickings, you know, growing up. But I was the one that was really, really feared, like, getting a spanking or getting in trouble with my dad because, one, I didn't want to let him down. And then, two, I just didn't want to get, you know, punished. and it wasn't like a, you know, let me spank you on the butt.
Yeah.
It was a beat down, you know. So, you know, my dad wanted to make sure that we did not grow up, you know, doing the wrong things, hang out with the wrong people. You know, he'd been there, done that, and he didn't, you know, raise us in Oregon to go out and get in trouble. So he definitely wanted to make sure we stayed in check.
I do have one question for you, John, that is not related to the Maurice Lucas Foundation. I have heard that you have a rivalry with Lawyer Malloy.
Yeah, don't you remember, you know, I was wondering, who's your celebrity rival for this tournament?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Yeah, Lawyer is, we all, plays in, you know, the Joey Harrington Battle of Bandon, right. And he came running at me this year.
Damn, I thought he was going to full tackle you.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, you know, he's not huge. He's a lot bigger than I am. But to see a guy that fast running at you, my eyes lit up a little bit. And
Johnny's getting a little cocky out there. He does that. What he can, though.
Yeah.
Us gingers got to stay a little bit cocky.
Yeah, I was hoping that you were going to jump in front, but you didn't.
Nope, it's on you.
Nope, you're off to the buffet.
free food, go get
it. Yeah, there's no rival in this. I love the Blazer organization and love David. And we do have one foursome remaining. And I think it'd be kind of cool that if that foursome, if someone wanted to come in and call and be paired with Dusty at the golf tournament, because Dusty's going to be there and represent.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So
be prepared.
Yeah, reach out. You can go to the webpage, the ML20 website, and contact me or David. But if there's a company, an individual that loves David or Maurice and would like to play with Dusty, follow up with us, and we'll get you involved in the event.
Go to ml20.org. I don't want to be giving out your phone numbers on here.
It's 503-724-NOTHING.
But go to ml20.org. It's the 16th annual Maurice Lucas Celebrity Golf Invitational out at the Reserve Vineyard and Golf Club. And yeah, reach out to, there's a page right there. You can go right to the website. And
there's numbers right on the website too. John Blatt home.
There it is.
You want me to give out the
Green Bar
803 number?
Sure.
503-803-9395. And let's play together at the Reserve Vineyard and Golf Club in the Maurice Lucas Foundation Golf Tournament. Guys, thank you so much
for
coming in.
Thanks, guys.
And everything you do in the community, man. Really appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we'll talk more Pac-12. But first is Buck with SportsCenter. Man, really cool to have David Lucas and John Blattholm in here as the Maurice Lucas Foundation is holding its celebrity golf tournament. And they have a foursome available if you want to go to the ml20.org or give them a call at 503-803-9395.
Hey, man, they get to play with you.
Yeah, well, I don't think that that is.
Oh, that's a big deal.
We're going to play. We're going to have fun. And we're going to try and get ourselves a winning way on the way to Pinehurst. There are some dang
you
good
don't get invited.
Groups.
That sucks. But if you do win, I don't think you get to go.
Why not?
I don't know.
I'm weaseling You're my way
eligible.
In there.
You're not eligible.
I am too.
I think the sake will help take care of that.
Yes. I've known this
winning?
About playing with Dusty now.
You think the sake will aid in winning?
I figured out the solution. You got to get a little lubricated to feel better. You got to feel.
Swing gets money.
I've made you a little bit. I figured it out. Next time I come out there. No. I made a decision. Next
you
time I'm coming.
Assessment?
I'm coming with a little bit of swing lube next time.
I need a little nip.
Shots.
A little nip,
make,
and then
make things take the edge off.
But let's play together and do it for a great cause. If you, as John said, if you have a company or you have a group of buddies, and let's make it happen. It's brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Portland, Mercedes-Benz of Beaverton, Maurice Lucas Celebrity Golf Invitational. I'll be out there at the Reserve July 25th. You're going on your Western road trip.
Yeah.
That's when it starts.
Yeah. Vacation starts actually right after that.
All right. So thanks to those guys for coming in. And as this texture points out on the Better You Today text line, without Maurice Lucas, Portland has zero NBA titles.
True that.
The ABA-NBA merger, 76-77 season, boom. 77, Blazers, or that season, Blazers get Maurice Lucas, they win a title. We need to do that again.
I love the fact that he was an enforcer.
Yes.
And I also like the fact that they were like, yeah, we just didn't want to make dad upset.
Mm-mm.
It's called respect.
Oh, Ronnie Dangerfield, none of it.
Got a little big dad's a little intimidating.
Yep. Okay, here's some texts that we had earlier on the Better You Today text line. We got one from a Beaver fan that said, we're talking about Oregon and Washington, kind of an uncharted territory here. 39 four- and five-star recruits on Oregon and Washington. They're dominating the recruiting cycle like something we've never seen before from the two Northwest schools, because USC and UCLA only have 11 such recruits. Mm-hmm. And we had an Oregon State texter said, you know, this is the exact opposite of Oregon State. With what player in their right mind that's any good would choose to go there over any other school in the area? I'm a Beaver alum, and it'd be very hard to convince a four- or five-star athlete to play football there. It's sad and it hurts, but it's true. And, you know, there is something that we're talking about, the facilities, the branding, having that dynamic coach. Andrew Nemec at the Oregonian and of the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec here on The Fan, if you read what he's been writing about Oregon State's attack in recruiting, you can still be a relationship builder without flash, because Oregon and Washington had sizzle on the field even before they had the facilities. You know, Oregon's was, you know, Bilotti, what was the next step of their program. With Washington, the tradition was there. You can still have good recruiting and then have that sizzle to go along with it.
You can certainly do it. I no one's ever going to tell you can't develop a great group of kids and you can't find a way to connect, because there are a lot of really good families and good kids that are not caught up into what I look like. You know, there is. But when you become a four- and five-star based upon what someone rates you, you have an upper echelon of everybody coming after you. Mm-hmm. The recruiting process is one of the only times as an athlete, as going into a college, that you get to pick your future. You really do. After that, if you're good enough, you don't get to pick where you're drafted. Sometimes you get locked into a contract, and lucky enough, if you're good enough, you get to be a free agent. Then it kind of happens again. It's a pretty good feeling. All of us are, anybody that has someone recruiting you or wanting you, it's a great feeling. When you get there, how are you going to set it apart? It used to be, like I said earlier in the show, it used to be just winning was good enough. Mm-hmm. Then it was, it just, how do I get to the Rose Bowl if you're a West Coast kid? Then it was, how do we win a national championship? Now it's college football. How do I look good? How do I get the best chance to get to the NFL? Okay. What type of program is going to set me up for the future? And I think that everybody that is looking at recruiting, especially families, are going, setting you up for the future. Am I getting to the league? Because raise your hand if you're a former Division I football player. My hand is raised. And you all thought you were going to the NFL. That's the first question. Just ask yourself that. If you're every single guy is going to put his hand up in the air. How many guys are in the we're all going. No, reality is you're not all going. So what are you going to do to set yourself up for the future? Which programs are leading right now? If David Shaw calls you, your eyes, you're going to listen. Mm-hmm. It's like E.F. Hutton. You remember E.F. Hutton?
I don't.
You remember the commercial.
But to that point, like I played small college football. We still had some idiots that thought that that's what their goal was. That's what their destiny was going to be. Like it is, like I couldn't imagine being in that Division I locker room because everybody thinks that and their hand kind of shoots up and it goes right up into the air. And you're right. Shaw carries a lot of weight.
Well, just the Peterson. Name Stanford. Yeah. Carries a lot of weight.
Well, and
you want Stanford on your I certainly want Stanford on my resume. I'm telling you it right now.
Mario Cristobal is a great recruiter because he builds bonds and relationships, but his track record of winning and guys that he's developed and put into the NFL is pretty impressive too. Mm-hmm. That goes a long way in fulfilling those dreams. But you know, going the other direction and having a different route, you know, Jonathan Smith has been more active on social media. The Oregon State Beavers have, after the criticisms that you talked about earlier, and Sprague was very vocal about him, and Smith came in and talked to him about him. But the deep bonds in what we're talking about, Nemec has an article up that I was reading yesterday. It's about Jake Overman, who's a 3-star tight end, right? And he came in on his official visit, and they'd been telling him the entire time, look, this is what we're taking one tight end. That's it. While this Overman kid was on his visit, Tommy Spencer, another tight end, committed to the Beavs. And the building these bonds is something like Smith sat him down, this kid who's on his visit, and said, we've been telling you all along we're only taking one tight end. And we told Tommy Smith to bump off his announcement because we wanted to talk to you first. And going out of the way to talk to him first about we're only taking one tight end. We don't want you to figure it out on social media. And so he goes, well, we'd still love to have you if you're interested in Oregon State, though. Overman, knowing that somebody else at his position committed, was so taken back by the recruiting process of Oregon State. Usually it's just find out on Twitter and then buy kid.
Full transparency.
Gave them the transparency and kind of building that bond and saying, we'll still take you. We just didn't want you to find out on Twitter that this is happening.
I respect that.
Face to face.
I respect that tremendously, especially from a kid. And that is, it shows you that he was raised right. And it is a world of, I want to go where I can play or where I have the easiest path to be a starter. Some athletes, not all of them out there, want to find that path. They don't want to go in and compete. Quarterbacks are about as bad as it gets because it's the shine position. Mm-hmm. But if you go to a major college like an Oregon State and you get a chance, you're one play away. You want to compete? I came in with 3 tight ends. All full scholarships.
Did you know that when you signed?
Absolutely.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. It just wasn't, and I knew I was going to sit for 2 years. How many guys know that going in?
Yeah.
That is a different philosophy nowadays. I mean, freshmen want to be ready. They want to play. They want to compete. They want to do everything they can to get on that field. Some are ready, some aren't. Some are early enroll. I can't fathom early enrolling. I can't even process that. I can't. I'm like, I don't want to go to college yet. I want to enjoy. I want to go to senior prom. I want to do the, come on, hold on. But the competitiveness, maybe, just maybe, we're at that point where now, do you want to compete? Mm-hmm. Or do you just want to be handed something?
Yeah. Well, they're going down a different road at Oregon State and got to build it. And if wins meant everything, as we said earlier, Washington State would be a killer recruiter. They really would be. They'd be awesome at recruiting. If wins meant everything, there is more in finding that niche and finding what it is for Oregon and Washington and Stanford too. It's a brand. It's what you are. You have some flash to go along with. For Stanford, their flash is academics.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, Dusty, I don't care. I know if USC is good, it makes the conference better. I get that. I appreciate that. But right now, all power is in the North. And I want to see the power stay in the North. And I'd want to see it for a while. Now, I know it'll shift back. I'm not that naive to tell you that you can't keep USC down just because of their talent and their money, that they're going to get through this. But right now, let's sit back and embrace it because up here in these two states, we're destroying everybody.
What you're saying is that eventually they'll make a right hire?
I don't, yeah.
Like eventually yeah. they will again?
Yeah, of course they will.
You know, because they've swung and missed.
Done it in history. History repeats itself.
You know, they whiffed with Kiffin. They whiffed with Sark.
Get ready to ride on, baby. Let's go!
They may have whiffed by not hiring Ed Orgeron. You know, and what Ed O's doing at LSU right now. We'll find out. 55305, the Better You Today text line. The ACC may be in the same boat as the Pac-12. Find out how next on The Fan. All right, the ACC could be in trouble, and they could go down the road of the Pac-12, which is something you never want to hear. They're having distribution problems with the soon-to-launch ACC network. They do not have an agreement for carriage of the ACC network, which launches August 22nd yet, on Comcast, Dish, and Charter. They have barely more user or subscribers than the Pac-12 network right now.
No, what will they do?
Well, they'll start not getting paid like the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. But I know it's new, and they're dealing with a lot of options now. And of course, this is like any startup. You can't come out of the gate with gangbusters. But eventually, their product, it will depend on whether their product as a conference is better, not just Clemson.
Well, and this is the problem that they may be having right now is that, you know, you say they'll be okay, and what's probably going to happen is a lot of these things do go to the, you know, 11th hour before you kind of get something figured out because they try to play hardball with each other. But this would be the first one where they aren't a conference is paired with a major network like the SEC was with ESPN, like the Big Ten was with Fox, and something were to fall through in this regard. Because right now they were set to launch, and their projections were that they would have, just as the Pac-12 did, have 30 to 50 million subscribers, and they only have 20 mm-hmm. right now. And what that does is that eventually you sit there and you start getting less and less money because ESPN gave them a bunch of money up front for this television deal that they thought was going to be in 50 million homes. If it's not in 50 million homes, then you start losing money as the Pac-12 did.
Well, I think that it's, I mean, it's maybe we're piling on a little, and not saying you're piling on, but this is, it's just new. It's just, it's a start. You got to start somewhere. I wouldn't be concerned at all whatsoever if you're the ACC. And I don't think they're going to be, because eventually you're going to have so many different streaming options and different cable companies fighting over. And that's what they're doing, because sports is the only thing left that creates in-game, not only, but live advertising needs. All of us stream and watch and fast forward. So sports is not going to go anywhere. In fact, it's going to keep going higher and higher. And when it comes to football, everybody watches.
Well, but the SEC is also very regional, as the Pac-12 is as well. Yeah. So that's what DirecTV's big thing with Pac-12 was, that you guys are too regional. You know, the Big Ten, mm-hmm. it actually spans across the country. The SEC actually has a reach of interest across the country.
So what you're saying, you feel like there's a bubble coming?
Well,
you feel like there's a sports bubble?
No, I'm just saying that with the ACC, they do have streaming rights with Altice, never heard of it, Verizon, Fios, and Hulu. But they don't have, and DirecTV, obviously. But those are the only ones. Like, Pac-12 has a bunch of streaming options, but DirecTV, you're just not on DirecTV yeah. at all. Yeah. And that's a big hit. Because every single home pays a percentage of your cable bill in every home.
Yes, they do.
Goes to that. Yeah. And that's what the ACC could be missing out on if they don't get Comcast, Charter, and Dish. So, I mean, it's something to keep an eye on.
It's big world problems.
It is, but it's what's hindering the Pac-12. And
I think there's more to it. Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I think there's definitely a lot of things hindering the Pac-12. But this is, it's one of those things where coverage. I don't think it has to do with the Pac-12 network. I think it has to do with the rights to the Pac-12 selling out for Friday nights, late Thursdays, and Saturday games where nobody on the West Coast, probably east of the Mason-Dixon line, can watch them because they're asleep.
Well,
these 8 o'clock starts are a death blow to the conference.
And so you're saying that's why DirecTV doesn't want to carry the Pac-12 network?
I think that, well, there's more population back east. There's more population. If they're not going to watch it, then how do they sell it?
Oh, so, okay, I get it. Yeah, I understand from that aspect. Because those late kick times, it's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because that's how they got
staying up till 3 in the morning to watch Pac-12 football.
But that's how they got the $3 billion from Fox and ESPN, was to have late kickoffs, because they wanted that window, because they wanted live programming.
This is a great question. Does ACC pay their commissioner and TV networks three times what they're worth? I think maybe their offices are in, I don't know, Park Place.
We went through this one time.
Right there.
Remember when we went through the rent alone?
Oh, God.
It's insane.
It's
insane.
Yeah.
And you know what? The ACC has that Pac-12 doesn't. ESPN on their side.
National champions. That's what the ACC has. They have a national champion. Yes, they do.
But that doesn't seem to be helping in this regard.
It will.
Yeah, for the sake of this conversation, it hasn't, though. And that is what's going to be interesting is, does the winning matter? Does it all matter? Here we go. Up next, we have The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon. Noon to 3 is Dirt and Sprague, 3 to 7 primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. We'll see you Wednesday right here on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.